Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 9th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Boris Johnson pushes ahead with his Brexit plans in the face of high-profile defections from his party.
Data shows the trade war taking a bigger bite out of China's economy.
Stocks in Asia gain as we hear fresh calls for more stimulus from Beijing.
Oil gains as Saudi Arabia installs a new energy minister.
President Trump abandons plans to host Taliban leaders at Camp David, plus Dorian's death toll rises to at least 44 in the Bahamas. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Jets and Giants both lost their season openers. Yankees beat the Red Sox. Mets lost to the Phillies. And Rafael Nadal won a five-setter to capture the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. For the sixth straight time, J.D. Power ranks Commonwealth number one in independent advisor satisfaction among financial investment firms. Visit Commonwealth.com to learn more.
And U.S. futures are higher to start the week. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 44. NASDAQ futures up 15. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany's up 0.2%, while the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 are both little changed. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.55%. COMEX gold little changed, up 60 cents at 15.16.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1033 against the dollar. The yen, 106.99. And this data check brought to you by Innovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Innovalon data has a story to tell, and Innovalon gives it a voice. Nathan.
Karen, we begin today in London, where Prime Minister Boris Johnson is pushing ahead with his Brexit plans despite fresh resignations in his Conservative Party. Bloomberg's Caroline Hepker is outside Parliament in Westminster and joins us live with the very latest. Caroline, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Yes, it is drizzling here in London, and it's looking pretty gloomy also on the political front. Certainly uncertain. Boris Johnson is continuing with his hardline Brexit stance. That's despite last week's defeat in the House of Parliament and significant resignations, including from the Work and Pensions Minister, Amber Rudd, who is basically a moderate Tory. So over the weekend, we heard from other ministers adding to fuel that the Prime Minister may try to defy the legislation that was brought in last week that would force him to delay an exit from the European Union if he can't actually get a deal with the EU. The Prime Minister has been in Ireland today and just a few moments ago again reiterated this idea of trying to get Brexit through, sort of do or die. Across the waters, it doesn't look as if Leo Varadkar is going to go for that. The Irish favouring a Brexit extension now, but not any change when it comes to the Irish backstop. Nathan, Karen?
All right, Caroline, thank you. We're also getting some positive data out of the UK this morning. Britain's economy grew at its fastest pace in 6 months in July, with GDP rising 0.3% from the prior month. Predictions had called for a gain of just 0.1%.
Turning to the trade war now, data show it's taking a bigger toll on China's economy, and that's prompting bets on more stimulus measures. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The August data may be even worse than they appear. Exports declined 1% from a year earlier. That's even after the UN weakened. It's also after companies were expected to have front-loaded cargoes ahead of U.S. tariffs on September 1st. Instead, Chinese exports to the U.S. contracted 16%. That makes recent stimulus efforts look paltry. Every economist we spoke to said more stimulus is coming. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Now, Brian, and those expectations for more stimulus helped give a small lift to stocks in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The CSI 300 gained 0.6% on the close. Markets in Tokyo and Seoul were also well supported, posting gains of around 0.5% on the major indexes, while stocks in Sydney closed flat. Markets in Hong Kong fluctuated, with casino and retail stocks under pressure, following a blog written by Financial Secretary Paul Chan on the weekend, claiming protests are taking their toll on the city, with tourist arrivals down almost 40% 1% in August from a year earlier. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. And those protests were once again in full force over the weekend. The violence continued for a 14th week, despite the formal withdrawal of that controversial bill allowing extraditions to mainland China. As protests enter their fourth month, Fitch Ratings downgraded Hong Kong last week and changed its outlook to negative. Andrew Fennell is director of Sovereigns at Fitch.
We're not saying that the basic law is in jeopardy, but this is a huge test. It's a test that's also impacting international perceptions of Hong Kong's rule of law, its governance system, and also the future dynamism and stability of its business environment.
For China, its strategy is now to root out peaceful demonstrators from those participating in violence. So far, they have left that job to Hong Kong's police.
Oil is gaining to start the week after Saudi Arabia's King Salman dismissed Khalid Al-Falah as the country's energy minister. Bloomberg's Ala Shaheen has more from Dubai.
Khalid Al-Falah was one of the most important people in Saudi Arabia, not just in energy policy, but overall seen as capable technocrat, seen as someone who's influenced the OPEC Plus alliance through a tough negotiation and tough ties with the Russians. He was so important that when he started, he was health minister and Aramco CEO, and then was given the oil portfolio.
That oil portfolio now lies in the hands of King Salman's son. The change comes with an OPEC meeting on the schedule this week, though no change in policy is expected from Saudi Arabia. We spoke with the United Arab Emirates Energy Minister at the World Energy Congress in Abu Dhabi.
I'm not expecting to have changes. I think with the personality that I know of Prince Abdulaziz, he's very decisive. They have a strong personality when it comes to the market.
OPEC and its allies meet Wednesday to discuss output cut compliance, checking prices ahead of that meeting. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.7% or 38 cents, $56.90 a barrel, while Brent is up 0.2% at $61.95.
Now, one of the corporate stories we're watching this morning, British Airways grounding most flights for 2 days as it faces its first strike by pilots in decades. The walkout could cost the carrier nearly $100 million and has shares of British Airways parent IAG down 2% in London. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and it's time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what more is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Secret peace talks with the Taliban were scheduled to be held this weekend at Camp David, but President Donald Trump says he canceled the meeting after a Taliban-directed suicide bombing in Kabul killed one American soldier and 11 others. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on ABC's This Week said the two sides had been making progress, but the Taliban failed to deliver on a series of commitments it had made.
President Trump said, that's enough. We're not going to do that. We're not going to reward that behavior, and broke it off.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, who is the ranking member on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said he did not know of any plans to hold talks with the Taliban at Camp David.
It was ill-conceived in the first place. It's another example of the Trump administration's foreign policy, which is a high-wire act that ultimately is focused on Trump as a persona, but not on the strategic, methodical effort of creating peace, whether there or any other place in the world.
The plan centered on efforts to pin down a deal that would have resulted in U.S. troops withdrawing from Afghanistan. Former South Carolina Representative Mark Sanford said he's running for the 2020 Republican presidential nomination, joining at least two others looking to beat President Trump. The government in the Bahamas says the death toll from Hurricane Dorian has risen to 44. Officials have warned that the number of deaths is likely to rise as teams search devastated areas of the northern Bahamas. USAID Administrator Mark Green.
There are parts of Abaco and the Bahamas that don't show a great deal of damage, and then there are clusters and communities that were devastated, almost as though nuclear bombs were dropped on them. That's how great the suffering is and the devastation is.
More than 5,000 passengers are stranded at Japan's Narita International Airport as highways were closed off and train services were suspended after a powerful typhoon hit the nation's capital. The U.S. Coast Guard says rescuers have been hampered in their search for the remaining four crew members of a cargo ship overturned near a Georgia port. But the rescue efforts ran into trouble amid the flames and instability of the ship.
20 others were rescued. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:09 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, the U.S. Open Fortnite ended with a classic. First men's singles final to go five sets since 2012. Didn't look that way early on. Rafael Nadal won the first two sets, was up a break in the third. But Daniil Medvedev battled back, forced a fifth set. Nadal prevailed in a match that took nearly 5 hours.
The last 3 hours of the match have been very, very intense. You know? Very, very tough mentally and physically too. You know? So, yeah. And at the end with the video, with the crowd that have been, as always, amazing. That all these facts that make the moment super special, no? And unforgettable moment at the same time.
His fourth Open title, 19th Grand Slam won behind Roger Federer. Season opening losses for the Jets and Giants. The Jets, despite a 16-0 lead with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, they should have been ahead by more. Buffalo had turned it over four times. The Bills stormed back, scored with 3 minutes to go, and won 17-16 in Adam Gase's first game as coach. Giants had a great drive to kick off their season, but by the time they got into the end zone again, Dallas had scored five TDs. The Cowboys won 35-17. Dak Prescott threw for 400 yards, four scores. Eli Manning passed for 300. The Giants have now faced the Cowboys in a season opener 12 times, and they've lost 11. Patriots last night raised another championship banner and then crushed the Steelers 33-3, and now they get to debut their new weapon, the newly signed Antonio Brown. Also in New England, Yankees beat the Red Sox 10-5. Home run for Aaron Judge, Mike Tauchman, and the team leading 35th for Gleyber Torres. Chad Green, three innings of relief, got the win. Mets playoff hopes became slimmer, a 10-7 loss to the Phillies, a game that took 4.5 hours. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow.
All right, John, thank you. Another corporate story we're watching. Apple and its manufacturing partner Foxconn are under fire for violating a Chinese labor rule. Companies are confirming reports they use too many temporary staff in the world's largest iPhone factory, and Apple says it is working closely with Foxconn to resolve the issue. S&P futures higher by 6 points right now. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. European shares are steady as traders weigh a series of fresh stimulus moves expected by the world's central banks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures up 46. NASDAQ futures up 15. The DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds. Yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 37 cents at $56.89 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.60 to $15.17.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1034 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2328 and the yen 106.98. And we did have this headline crossing the Bloomberg. Alcoa announcing a reorganization, saying it will implement a new operating model which will eliminate its business unit structure and consolidate sales, procurement, and other commercial capabilities at an enterprise level. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump says that he canceled weekend secret peace talks at Camp David that were to include Afghan and Taliban leaders. He says it's because of last Thursday's Taliban bombing in Afghanistan that killed a U.S. soldier and 11 others. The death toll in the Bahamas has climbed to at least 44 from Hurricane Dorian. In week one of the NFL Sunday, the Giants and Jets lost. The Patriots, Ravens, and 49ers won. The Redskins lost. The Raiders play the Broncos tonight. In the earlier Monday night game, the Saints host the Texans, and you can hear both of those games on Bloomberg Radio. In baseball, the Yankees down the Red Sox 10-5, and right after the Red Sox loss, in a surprise move, Boston relieved Dave Dombrowski of his duties as president of baseball operations. The Mets lost along with the Orioles and Giants. The Nationals and A's won. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Rafael Nadal won the men's singles title. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this Monday morning, Jeffrey Yu, Chief Investment Officer at UBS. Jeff, always good to talk with you. I want to get the latest with you on the Brexit developments. We've just heard from UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson meeting with the Irish Prime Minister in Dublin, saying there is still time for him to reach a new deal with the European Union. Is that your base case?
No, at this point, it's an extension and then an election, and then we'll just go from there. Probably the election will come sooner or later. I think the action rather than in Dublin is going to be in Westminster later today. We know that the government will try to push for another election, but it seems the opposition parties are united against that. And then what the next step is, you know, the local papers are abundant with, you know, whether there are more, you know, tricks up the sleeve from Downing Street. But yeah, it's going to be another interesting few days.
Yeah, for certainly. So you don't think then that Boris Johnson can get around the law that's been passed in Parliament that says he cannot exit on October 31st when he wants without a deal?
Well, here's where we enter. It's really one for the lawyers, right? One floated suggestion is that he will abide by the law and send a letter to request an extension, and then send another letter saying, please ignore my first letter. So I'm not sure how that's going to work. Again, it's one for the lawyers, and I'm sure there are going to be other ways around it. But, you know, ultimately, he wants an election, and the polls suggest, you know, that the Conservatives are still in a better position should the vote take place before October the 31st. But again, you know, we're just taking every hour at a time, you know, right now. It's not even taking every day at a time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you're taking every hour, I mean, how do investors sort of navigate all this? What is your advice to them at this point?
Well, it feels like, you know, investors, and I have a lot of sympathy for this view, you know, they went underweight UK assets in general a while back, you know, just sensing this would be layer upon layer of uncertainty, and there won't be, you know, any, I would say, fresh flow into the UK until we do get some certainty, be it a certainty of a no deal or certainty of a deal, right? It's important to bear in mind, you know, no deal is a form of certainty as well, right? So it might not be a positive form of certainty in people's books, but again, you know where you stand, right? So you know, that's how we've been advising people to, you know, navigate choppy waters. We have stressed, you know, sterling is undervalued, of course, and there's a lot of underpositioning, you know, in UK assets in general. But we need more clarity. But it seems, you know, as the way things are going, clarity will come, you know, sooner rather than later.
Does this put the European Central Bank meeting even more in focus for you with all the uncertainty surrounding Brexit? Does that make the case even further for stimulus from the ECB?
I think it is a convenient angle for them to pursue. Let's, you know, talk about conditionality, right? Conditional upon further stimulus, you know, conditional, you know, upon, you know, adverse developments. The Fed always talks about subject to international developments. You know, this is, you know, clearly a strong negative risk, you know, for the Eurozone. But to preempt that, I think, is taking it a bit too far. So they probably will warn what they plan on doing, and I'm sure a question will be asked at the press conference. What will be your reaction function should there be a no-deal Brexit, and that will be laid out. But I think to actually act, it will have to be after the fact rather than before the fact.
So then in the meantime, in our last minute here, how do you expect the ECB to act this week?
Well, so again, combination rate cuts, and, you know, there will be, you know, stimulus, you know, being delivered. But the question is, you know, how much? We talk 10, 20. Is 20 a surprise, you know, even? If enough people are talking about 20 basis points, then to surprise to the more dovish side to that, then the ECB will have to deliver more. So the bar is very high for the ECB to deliver a surprise. But again, you know, people point out it's Draghi's, you know, last meeting. Is there going to be a final Draghi special? You know, who knows? But I'll just highlight the bar is very high there. So hold off on your euro shorts.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there for now. Again, the ECB decision coming up on Thursday. Jeffrey Yu, Chief Investment Officer at UBS. Thanks, as always, for your insights. We'll continue following that as the week progresses here on Bloomberg Daybreak. In the meantime, futures in the U.S. are pointing to a modestly higher open, with S&P futures higher by 6 points, Dow futures up 46 points, and NASDAQ futures are higher by about 14 points. The 10 years down 10/32nds, yield at 1.59%, and the 2-year Treasury yield is at 1.55%. Coming up to 5:25 on Wall Street, straight ahead, central bank easing is back in focus this week, plus a fuller check of the markets and all the latest news in business, economics, and finance. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world as traders anticipate a series of stimulus moves by the world's central banks. On Thursday, the ECB is widely expected to consider cutting rates and quantitative easing. The Fed is forecast to lower rates next week.
Now, China had an unexpected drop in trade data for August, and that's prompting calls for even more stimulus from that country's central bank. We get details from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
China's exports fell 1% in August from the previous year, well below forecasts of a 2.2% expansion. Imports dropped 5.6%. The data underscores the pressure on China's manufacturers from U.S. tariffs and a domestic slowdown. Bloomberg Economics expects no let-up, with additional tariffs in the pipeline and softer demand from China's major trading partners. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. In the UK, the economy grew at its fastest pace in 6 months in July. GDP rose 0.3% from the prior month. Predictions had called for a gain of just 0.1%.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is refusing to back down on his hardline Brexit strategy. He is likely to lose another vote in the House of Commons today on his request for a general election.
British Airways pilots are on strike. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Cassinio Galuchka in London.
British Airways is grounding almost 100% of its flights. The strike is really major, and this is the first strike by its pilots since the 1970s. The loss to the airline could be about £80 million.
And shares of IAG, the owner of British Airways, down 2% in London.
Oil is extending gains after Saudi Arabia replaced its energy minister before an OPEC meeting this week in Abu Dhabi. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's up 0.8% or 45 cents at $56.95 a barrel. Brent is up about 0.75% at $61.99.
WeWork reportedly may drop the valuation for its IPO below $20 billion. According to Dow Jones, some investors are pushing the company to delay the offering. WeWork planned to begin a roadshow for the IPO as early as today. S&P futures are higher this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 46. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds, yield 1.59%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.55%. COMEX gold is up 0.1% or $2 to $15.1750 an ounce. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A top Democratic lawmaker says President Donald Trump's decision to cancel peace talks with the Taliban at Camp David is another example of the High Wire Act that is the administration's foreign policy. New Jersey's Bob Menendez said that talks were ill-conceived from the start because they haven't yet involved the Afghan government. President Trump said another deadly car bombing in Afghanistan that killed an American soldier led to his decision. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on ABC's This Week.
If you're going to negotiate peace, you often have to deal with some pretty bad actors. And I know the history, too, at Camp David. Indeed, President Trump reflected on that. We all considered as we were debating how to try and get to the right ultimate outcome.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Thousands of students formed human chains in schools across Hong Kong to show solidarity to push for democratic reforms after violent weekend clashes. Bloomberg's Karen Lee has more from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong largely returned to normal Monday morning after leader Carrie Lam's biggest concession yet to protesters did little to stop violence that's become the city's weekend norm. Pockets of demonstrators on Sunday set fires, vandalized subway stations, and set up barricades after tens of thousands marched peacefully to the U.S. consulate to appeal for help from President Donald Trump. The unrest came as Financial Secretary Paul Chan said tourist arrivals in the financial hub plunged almost 40% in August from a year earlier. In Hong Kong, Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The storm that battered the Bahamas and North Carolina whipped at far eastern Canada with hurricane-force winds before weakening and heading out to sea Sunday night, but Canadian authorities have reported no deaths from Dorian. Meanwhile, Dorian killed at least 44 people in the Grand Bahamas, and there are some major logistical tasks ahead. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
That is, the island now faces the task of finding food and water and medical services for those who may be partially buried still in debris. Dr. Dwayne Sands, helping in the effort, says conditions are brutal.
In Grand Bahama, 100 miles long, we have one functioning ambulance. One.
And there are complaints that they've seen no sign of authorities or help from the United States. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Coast Guard says that it's too risky right now to try to reach four crew members of a ship that overturned yesterday off the coast of Georgia. 20 others were rescued. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, in rough seasons for the Jets and Giants, last couple of years in 2019 kicked off with losses. The Giants in Dallas, a place where they've now lost six of the last seven. Four of those defeats have been in a season opener. Dak Prescott shredded the Giants defense for 400 yards and four touchdowns in a 35-17 rout. Eli Manning threw for 300 yards, replaced at the end by rookie Daniel Jones, and coach Pat Shurmur asked if he still supports starting Manning.
Absolutely. Dude, I expect all the players to be back at this point. I think everybody thinks I'm nuts, but I've seen the good in Eli, and I believe in the good in especially the quarterback position, and I believe in everybody around him has to do their job as well. I certainly hear things, but I believe in Eli. I believe in him.
Opener next Sunday against Buffalo. The Bills were at MetLife yesterday, staging a big comeback. They trailed the Jets 16-0 with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. They had turned it over four times, and suddenly the Bills stormed back, scored late, and won 17-16, spoiling Adam Gase's first game as Jets coach. Patriots last night crushed the Steelers 33-3. At Fenway, Yankees beat the Red Sox 10-5. And Masahiro Tanaka's previous two starts against the Sox, he had given up 18 runs. He gave up four in four innings. It was Chad Green who got the win. The Red Sox have fired the guy who put together last year's World Series championship team, GM Dave Dombrowski. Mets lost to the Phillies 10-7. Game took 4.5 hours, and that was just before across the street, the U.S. Open men's singles final took almost 5 hours. Rafael Nadal blew a two-set lead but pulled it out over Daniil Medvedev 7-5, 6-3, 5-7, 4-6, 6-4. Nadal's now won 19 Grand Slams. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the elements issue on why the periodic table matters more than ever. Joel Weber is the editor of Bloomberg Business Week.
It has brought organization to chaos. One of the headlines we have for this is that this is the greatest org chart in business history.
You can read more about it and other stories in the Elements edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. A growing battle between New Jersey's biggest insurance company and certain medical professionals has landed in federal court. Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield and its potential claims review partner, American Specialty Health, claim they've been the target of a smear campaign waged by various alternative health care providers, according to NJ Spotlight. Tommy Hilfiger returned to New York Fashion Week Sunday, featuring his latest collaboration with actress and singer Zendaya. The designer set up a stage filled with musicians and dancers to celebrate Harlem-inspired fashions of the late 70s and early 80s on a street just outside of the famed Apollo Theater. Norwalk Common Council members this week could ban the use of styrofoam by retailers and food packagers in the city. This comes on the heels of a plastic shopping bag ban. There's also been talk of banning plastic straws. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The International Energy Agency cut its forecast for oil demand growth again.
I'm Steve Potaskin on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about PG&E fending off takeover bids as a deadline nears for it to file a restructuring plan.
I'm Roger Herring on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson's moves to avoid having to ask the EU for another Brexit extension.
Amanda O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about Nordstrom's plan to let New Yorkers return to its stores items they bought online from anywhere.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Apple and Foxconn are accused of violating a Chinese labor rule.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another tech story we're following. Microsoft says the Trump administration is treating Huawei unfairly. China's leading maker of networking equipment and mobile phones is a big Microsoft client. President Brad Smith tells Bloomberg Businessweek Huawei should be taken off a blacklist that bars it from buying U.S. technology. He says the way the U.S. government is treating Huawei is un-American. Futures pointed higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we look ahead to this week's policy decision from the European Central Bank. Mario Draghi's last act. We'll check in with Bloomberg opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning as traders weigh a series of fresh stimulus moves expected by the world's central banks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6.5 points. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany's up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32nd, yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year 1.56%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 48 cents at $57 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% up $2.10 at $15.17.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1039 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2347 and the yen 107.04. And Alcoa will introduce a new operating model and shrink its executive team. As part of a reorganization, the company said will reduce costs and bring leaders closer to operations. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Trump says he was set over the weekend to meet at Camp David with the leaders of the Taliban to negotiate a peace deal in Afghanistan. The meeting was canceled after a car bombing in Kabul that killed an American soldier and 11 others. The death toll in the Bahamas is at least 44 from Hurricane Dorian and is expected to climb as hundreds remain missing. In week one of the NFL Sunday, the Giants and Jets lost. The Patriots, Ravens, and 49ers won. The Redskins lost. Monday night games, the Saints host the Texans, and the Raiders play the Broncos. You can hear both of those games on Bloomberg Radio. In baseball, the Yankees down the Red Sox 10-5. And right after the Red Sox loss, Boston relieved Dave Hombrowski of his duties as president of baseball operations. The Mets also lost, along with the Orioles, Giants, Nationals, and A's won. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Rafael Nadal won the men's single title. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
And it's 5:49 on Wall Street. It is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Columnist Marcus Ashworth joins us from our London bureau. Marcus is writing this morning about this week's policy decision coming from the European Central Bank. Marcus, good to speak with you this morning. This will be Mario Draghi's last act. What is the expectation going in?
Not quite. He has one more after this in October, but he steps away at the end of October, and in comes Christine Lagarde of the International Monetary Fund. But it should be a seamless transition, which is why I probably expect that what happens this Thursday will be fully in line with what Lagarde would be doing anyway. So you might as well do it now. It's needed now. And really, it's all about building up a war chest, or the impression of one anyway, for the European Central Bank to have the ability to keep the euro in check if and when the European economy was to try and recover into the teeth of a stronger euro, which may come if the US economy does dip and indeed the dollar falls, then this could be very, very difficult indeed for the Europeans, who are struggling as it is with quite weak euro, to recover. A strong euro would absolutely knock them out of the park for good. So it's all about trying to sustain that impression. Obviously, fiscal policy would be far more superior, but it isn't coming anytime yet. So I think we've got a bit of shock and awe coming.
Now, at the same time, Draghi is facing quite a bit of pushback from hawks on the European Central Bank. What's their rationale for not resuming quantitative easing?
Their rationale is what's going on is common sense, because it's, of course, madness to try and boost a weakening export manufacturing sector by trying to buy more bonds or cut rates. But this is not sort of the point, really. They've got themselves in this corner, the ECB, and they're digging a big hole, but this is not the time to stop digging if there's nothing else to sort out, e.g. fiscal policy. So you can understand purely why these guys are thinking, well, why on earth are we going to try and buy more German Bunds or Austrian, whatever it may be? What's it going to achieve? It's going to achieve absolutely nothing. But one thing, it possibly can help keep a lid on the currency. And whether you make rates more negative or you do more QE, it essentially ends in the same bucket, which is weakening your currency. That's all that QE really does. So the initial sort of support that we've had post the global financial crisis, subsequent QE has been pretty ineffectual other than keeping the currency down. So that's all I think that you can see why they're saying this. They're not protesting against a rate cut, interestingly. It's just about more QE. But the fact they are protesting, I think, is either virtue signaling, because they know it's coming, or they may be able to slightly delay, or more likely just slightly reduce what's coming on Thursday.
Is the pushback that Draghi's receiving having anything to do with the negative bond yield environment that we've seen building in Europe?
Absolutely. I mean, in the sense of, what is the point of doing more QE when you've already got, a three-year Germany at negative 95? I mean, this is just madness. But it's their type of madness. It's the madness they're happy with, they're comfortable with, and it's the only madness they've got. So in that context, it's just a continuation policy until Lagarde steps in. What she'll be able to do is, she doesn't want to have an even worse economy and then have to do even more when she comes in. I think they realize they need to do this now, and she's fully on board with that.
So then if there isn't as much pushback on the idea of cutting rates further, could we see that coming from the ECB as well this week?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's absolutely nailed on. We probably got certainly 10, I would think much more likely 20 basis points of a rate cut to negative 60. They will then, what's known as, tier it, which means that not all of the deposits that sit in the European Central Bank will be charged this negative 60. It'll be, some will be negative 40, some will be at other levels, to try and reduce the impact on banks, therefore making it utterly pointless, one could argue. Nonetheless, no one's questioning that there's going to be a rate cut, but they are just purely trying to stop more QE right here, right now. But they could well do other things like moving into green bonds, moving into corporate bond buying, senior bank debt, as well as doing government bonds and lifting and being slightly clever on it. There are ways around this. It doesn't make sense to buy more bunds, but it could make sense to buy Italian and even Greek bonds. So, there are ways around it. We shall see. But for the moment, I think they just have to say what they're doing.
Bloomberg Opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth, thank you. You can read more at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The Treasury Department and President Trump are asking a D.C. federal court to throw out a suit filed by House Democrats to try to force the department to hand over the president's tax returns. The National Labor Relations Board has ruled a Kroger supermarket did not break federal labor law by calling police to force a union activist to stop soliciting in the store's parking lot. That overturned a 20-year-old ruling. And the IRS wants to scrap a donor disclosure requirement for certain nonprofits. A federal judge in July said the agency's earlier attempt didn't follow the rules.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal development we're watching. Facebook joining Google in the crosshairs of state attorneys general investigating possible antitrust violations. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Dune Grasso speaks to antitrust expert and New York University law professor Harry First.
So, Harry, the New York AG is leading this multi-state bipartisan investigation, eight states in D.C. What are they going to be looking into?
What they're going to be looking into are violations of basically federal antitrust law, although they can also be investigating state antitrust law violations. And the focus is going to be on competition issues.
The FTC is already investigating Facebook. The Justice Department is going to be investigating Google. The House Antitrust Panel seems to be investigating all the tech giants. Are these multi-state investigations duplicative in any sense?
We have a system in the United States where we have multiple antitrust enforcers. The Federal Trade Commission, for example, and the Justice Department have authority to investigate the same things on the federal level. And states also, for many years, have authority to engage in antitrust investigations. Now, obviously, there can be some potential for duplication. So often the parties, these investigative agencies, work together, particularly the federal agencies and the states. So we have yet to see exactly whether that cooperation is going to emerge. We do see the states working together. They could technically each file separately, but they are operating together. So it's true the FTC had announced earlier that it's investigating Facebook, and it's not clear whether the state's investigation is being coordinated with the FTC or is separate.
Is it possible then that the feds won't find antitrust violations, but the states will, or vice versa, and then there'll be a trial by one of these entities?
Yes. We love competition in the United States, and we have competition in enforcement. So enforcers, like anybody, don't always agree. And there are occasions where the states may take one view and the federal enforcers may take others. Or some states may take one view and others take a different view.
And that's New York University law professor Harry First speaking with Bloomberg's Dune Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures are higher this morning, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.